Do you feel like you need God's encouragement and wisdom throughout the week to take hold of His promise to fly like an eagle? You come to the right place. Welcome to Eagles on the Hill. Let's join our host, Pastor Jeff Scheich.
Hey, people, I am your host, Pastor Jeff Scheich. Thanks for joining us on this edition of the podcast. Today on the podcast, we're going to cover a topic that was sent in by an astute listener. So I'm excited about that. I always love to get ideas from you. So write us at eaglesonthehill211@gmail.com. Let me know what you'd like me to cover on the podcast. So here's what was written in. The listener said that she had been listening to a podcast or a teaching by Chuck Swindoll. Some of you might be old enough to know who Chuck Swindoll is. Great, great expository Bible teacher. And Chuck Swindoll was talking about erosion in the Christian life, how oftentimes we can be in our lives very strong Christians, strong followers of Jesus. And then if we don't maintain the disciplines of the Christian life, our faith can begin to erode slowly, slowly, slowly. We don't even realize it's happening until we look back 20 years ago and say, wow, I was much closer to Jesus. I was a much stronger believer. I was much more disciplined in my Christian life or in any area of life, whether it be taking care of physical health or whatever it might be. I was much more disciplined 20 years ago than I am now, and it happens gradually, slowly over time. I didn't get to hear Chuck Swindoll's podcast, but I thought it sounded like a good idea, a topic for a podcast that I wanted to do. And she said that Chuck Swindoll focused on Solomon. So I wanted to read to you some scripture about Solomon and see how Solomon's faith eroded over time. And Solomon, as you may know, started out really strong. He was the son of King David, born from Bathsheba, so not necessarily the best start in terms of David and Bathsheba, but nevertheless was started out his kingship as he succeeded King David, started out very strong. We find that in 1 Kings chapter 3. I wanted to read that passage to you if we could. 1 Kings chapter 3, starting at verse 1, Solomon made an alliance with Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and married his daughter. Okay, well, we'll talk about that in a minute. He brought her to the city of David, Jerusalem, until he finished building his palace and the temple of the Lord and the wall around Jerusalem. The people, however, were still sacrificing at the high places because a temple had not yet been built for the name of the Lord. Solomon showed his love for the Lord by walking according to the instructions given him by his father David, except that he offered sacrifices and burnt incense on the high places. So he was offering, and the people in verse 2, offering sacrifices and incense to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to Yahweh, but he was doing it at various high places around Israel and not where God had told him to sacrifice. So you got a little bit of drift going on there. So here we go. The king went to Gibeon to offer sacrifices. Gibeon is just northwest of Jerusalem in the Judean ridge there, for that was the most important high place. And Solomon offered 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon during the night in a dream, and God said, "Ask for whatever you want me to give to you." Solomon answered, "You have shown great kindness to your servant, my father David, because he was faithful to you and righteous and upright in heart. You have continued this great kindness to him and have given him a son to sit on his throne this very day. Now, Lord, my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David. But I am only a little child and do not know how to carry out my duties. Your servant is here among a people you have chosen, a great people too numerous to count or number. So give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong, for who is able to govern this great people of yours?" The Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for this. So, great start to, well, not great, we'll give it a B, start to Solomon's kingship, in that he sought wisdom from God, and God was pleased with his request for wisdom. On the downside, we have these, as we said, sacrifices at various high places, although he was sacrificing, as far as we can tell from Scripture, to Yahweh. So that's good, just not doing it how Yahweh prescribed it to be done. And we'll come back to this, but also you have in 1 Kings 3, verse 1, Solomon marrying the daughter of Pharaoh, and we'll see that becomes a problem later. For now, though, doing pretty well, maybe even a B+, A minus kind of devotion to God. Let's take a look at 1 Kings chapter 4. Let's get that up on the screen here. 4, starting at verse 29. And we'll see kind of a summary of Solomon's wisdom. God gave Solomon wisdom. This is 1 Kings 4, verse 29. God gave Solomon wisdom and very great insight, and a breadth of understanding as measureless as the sand on the seashore. Solomon's wisdom was greater than the wisdom of all the people of the East, and greater than all the wisdom of Egypt, so both borders of the nation of Israel. He was wiser than anyone else, including Ethan the Ezrahite, wiser than Heman, Calcal, and Darda, the sons of Mahol, and his fame spread to all the surrounding nations. He spoke 3,000 proverbs, and his songs numbered 1,005. He spoke about plant life, from the cedar of Lebanon to the hyssop that grows out of the walls. He also spoke about animals and birds, reptiles and fish. From all nations, people came to listen to Solomon's wisdom sent by all the kings of the world who had heard of his wisdom. So you have some just really summary there of Solomon's wisdom, of the blessing of God upon Solomon's rule. We're getting up to the A-minus category here. And then in the succeeding chapters of 1 Kings, Solomon builds the temple of the Lord in Jerusalem. And those are exciting, exciting times for Solomon, for the people of God, for the nation of Israel. Solomon's reaching up to the A category in terms of his kingship. He's doing really, really, really well in the early years. The first, we'll say, 10 to 20 years of his kingship, he does really, really quite well. However, he's going to get a little bit, I don't know what will happen in his heart, but he's going to get a little cocky perhaps. He's going to start drifting. He's not going to be as devoted, and we're going to see him start to slip. His devotion to Yahweh start to erode. So let's go back. Let's take a look at the scriptures, and we're going to go, as we do this, to 1 Kings 11, verses 1 to 10. So let's go to 1 Kings 11. Let's get that up on the screen here. 1 Kings 11, verse 1. Here we go. This is after the building of the temple, and after years have passed, probably after about 20 years of Solomon's reign, this is what we read. King Solomon, however, that's a problem, loved many foreign women besides Pharaoh's daughter, Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Sidonians, and Hittites. They were from nations about which the Lord had told the Israelites, "You must not intermarry with them, because they will surely turn your hearts after other gods." Nevertheless, Solomon held fast to them in love. And we don't really know exactly about his love for them. We know that he was marrying these women. At least one reason was to be like the kings around the nation of Israel. And that's how they made alliances, was through intermarriage. So Solomon was making alliances, things for the kingdom, for the people of the nation of Israel. Financially, were going really, really well. Spiritually, they were going downhill, and that curve starts to go down slowly, but then that curve increases with speed. You go downhill a little bit, and slow and slow, and faster, 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 till you're really eroded. 1 Kings 11, verse 3, he had 700 wives of royal birth and 300 concubines, and his wives led him astray. As Solomon grew old, his wives turned his heart after other gods, and his heart was not fully devoted to the Lord his God, as the heart of David his father had been. This is horrible, horrible verses. It gets worse. He followed Ashtaroth, the goddess of the Sidonians, and Molech, the detestable god of the Ammonites. Detestable, that's key. That's a kind of a code word in the scripture for child sacrifice, burning your children in the fire. So Solomon apparently sacrificed some of his children in the fire to Molech. So Solomon did evil in the eyes of the Lord. He did not follow the Lord completely as his father had done. On a hill east of Jerusalem, Solomon built a high place for Chemosh, the detestable god of Moab, and for Molech, the detestable god of the Ammonites. Again, a reminder that the word detestable is code language for child sacrifice. So you have Solomon starting out, wow, I mean, started out a B plus, A minus kind of stuff, building the temple of the Lord on a hill east of Jerusalem. So just across the Kidron Valley from where Solomon's temple was, you go across the Kidron Valley to the Mount of Olives. And on the Mount of Olives, This is where the Garden of Gethsemane was, where Jesus prayed the night before he died. On the Mount of Olives, Solomon is sacrificing children in the fire to other gods. It's no wonder the devil was hanging out on the Mount of Olives when Jesus got there to the Garden of Gethsemane. Just horrible stuff. So in the life of Solomon, you have not only drift, but you have, by the end of it, collapse of his faith. So point of all this is the challenge of us as Christians, as followers of Jesus, followers of the same God Solomon followed, to maintain discipline in our Christian lives, to not drift. And it is so, so hard because our human nature would easily drift. I was talking to my neighbor the other day. He was building his deck, and we were talking about that. And we talked about how wood and the decks that we build never get better on their own. They never improve on their own. Second law of thermodynamics, but we won't get into that. We tend to drift as human beings. And so we here at Christ Lincoln have put into place what we hope will be a helpful kind of quick way to check our drift that we call rows, circles, arrows, dots. Are we in worship each and every Sunday? Are we in circles? Are we in a small group that can encourage us in our Christian life? Even this morning, as I'm making this podcast, already have had text messages from my small group encouraging Melinda and I in our faith. Are we in those circles where we can be encouraged and encourage one another and grow in faith together? Arrows, are we serving in the church in some way? If everyone served in the church as much as you do, how would your church, your local congregation be? Would it be strong if everyone served as much as you do? Or would it be weak if everyone served as much as you do? How about your community? Are you able to serve in some way in your community to make an impact in the community? If everyone in your community, in our case, Lincoln, Nebraska, if everyone served and volunteered as much as you do, how would the community be? Would it be strong or would it be weak? And then dots is that time alone that we have with God each and every day in His Word. Rows, circles, arrows, dots. Just an easy way that we, as we've seen that pattern in Jesus' life, an easy way for us to check ourselves and say, are we disciplined in our Christian lives? I will say this for myself, two things. One is praise God for His forgiveness, because I find that I drift. I find that without just being on top of it each and every day, I drift. And my disciplines can erode. And that then over time, I won't notice it immediately, but over time, it will erode my walk with God, my faith life. So I thank God for His forgiveness. I thank God for the scriptures that say that His mercies are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I need God's mercy. And I'm sure you do too. And I'm sure, I hope that you're thankful for His mercies every morning. And yet, I don't want to use God's grace, God's mercies, God's forgiveness as a reason to go, oh, well, I'll just sin some more. St. Paul asks that question in Romans chapter 6. Because God forgives us so much, should we just go on sinning so that grace might increase? He says, may it never be. So Philippians chapter 2, Paul says that we are, this is an interesting verse, we are to work out our salvation with fear and trembling, Philippians chapter 2, verse 12, to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. That does not mean that we are working for our salvation. That's not what that verse means. So don't misunderstand it. What it means is God has saved us in Christ by faith, and yet that requires a working out in our lives. It's not a static thing, because if it's a static faith, it will just drift and erode. So we work out the salvation that God's given us. And the very next verse, verse 13, so read those two verses together, Philippians 2, verses 12 and 13 together. Paul says in 12, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Verse 13, for it is God who works in you to do that. And so this message causes me to do a couple of things, be thankful for God's mercy and grace, recommit myself to rows, circles, arrows, dots, and to work out my salvation. Again, not that I'm working to be saved. I am saved, but I'm working it out in everyday life. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in me, and so I trust that God is the one at work in me as I live for him, as I stay disciplined for him, as I try my best to stay disciplined with his power and his strength, so that my faith does not erode, and that I take that warning of what happened with King Solomon very seriously. All right, well, that's what we got for you today. Again, my very great thanks to our listener who suggested this topic. I love it when listeners suggest topics to us, because I figure if one person wants to hear about it, probably many people will benefit. Write us at eaglesonthehill211@gmail.com. Let us know your thoughts about this podcast or other topics that you'd like us to talk about. Remember that those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength and soar on wings like eagles. I pray that this message will bring you back on track for the day and give you an opportunity in your heart to soar and fly on wings like eagles. Thanks for listening to the podcast today.